As we have said, we have kind of set aside this Sunday from our normal pattern and called this Thanksgiving Sunday. And so that is simply what we want it to be. And in one sense, it's no different from any other Sunday in that we want to come together to give thanks and to celebrate God's goodness. The Bible speaks quite a lot about complaining and grumbling. We read in Philippians, do all things without grumbling. And I suppose the counterpart to that then is Paul says to the Ephesians to give thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Or he said to in his letter in Thessalonians that we're to give thanks in all circumstances. Thankfulness is a mark that we are Christian, that we are following Jesus. And as we come today, we have so much to be thankful for, and so we want to be thankful. We spend our lives teaching our children to say thank you, but we don't want to say one thing to them and do another. We want to be able to example lives that are full of thankfulness. Psalm 24, if you look at it in your Bibles, it is probably called the King of Glory. And from this psalm this morning, as we consider the King of Glory, I hope you will see how indeed we can be thankful always for everything. And what I really want us to see from this morning is that thankfulness comes when God is put at the center of everything. Thankfulness comes when God is put at the center of everything. We read that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all those who dwell therein. The earth, everyone in it, and everything in it belongs to God. The world, everything, and everyone belongs to God. That includes the good and the bad. That includes godly people and ungodly people. Whether people recognize God as the owner or not, whether they use the resources that he has given them for good or ill, they and the resources that they use belong to God. Anything that we have, we would think we would do well to think of it as a loan, because ultimately, God owns it. It belongs to him. Anything that we give or receive, even between each other, is ultimately God's. It's like when you give your child money to go and buy you a gift. The gift ultimately has come from yourself. Anything that we have has come from God. Dale Ralph Davis, he has been so helpful for me in the Psalms, and he says here, these first verses, he says, we have walked into the Lord's world. We exist in a world that belongs to God. It is his. Everyone and everything exists within this earth for the glory of God, not us. God is at the center of the universe, not us. And therefore, all things that we possess within this world, they're not there primarily to serve and satisfy us, but to serve and glorify God. How can God have such a claim to this? Well, verse 2 we read, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Everything that you see, God has made it. God is the one who has brought order from chaos. The word established there is in the present tense. What God has made, he is continuing to maintain and hold together. Spurgeon says the hungry jaws of ocean would devour the dry land if a constant fate of omnipotence did not protect. We are here every second by the mercy and the power of the King of Glory. We read in Colossians of this King of Glory that by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. In Hebrews 1:3, we read that Christ is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. God is at the center of all things. All things have come from him. They continue by his power and under his control. So what does this mean for us? Well, it means we should be thankful. From the tissue we pull out of our pocket to wipe our nose, to the dinner we will enjoy when we go home, to the money in our bank accounts, to the health that we have, we must give thanks. We are often quick to think about what we don't have, failing to recognize that every single thing we do have has been gifted to us by God. And what do we do? Naturally, when we're given a gift, we say, thank you. And if we view everything that we have as a gift from God, this will prevent us from pride, it will prevent us from greed, it will enable us to give because it isn't actually ours in the first place, and it will make us thankful. Just one more thought here. If we do not acknowledge God's sovereign rule and control over all things, particularly when we kind of look out at the world and all that is going on within the world, if we do not acknowledge God's control, our hearts will not be filled with thanks, but we will be quick to grumble, even fear and panic and worry. You know, you may say, well, what do we do when we look around and see things that seem absolutely chaotic? We could think of recent hurricanes, or we could think of terrorism spreading across our world, or news story after news story that just seems to suggest things are pretty out of control. We often wonder, how do we respond to these things? Well, we begin by acknowledging in our hearts that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all those who dwell therein. We say, thank you, Lord, that you are in control, that you are sovereignly ruling, and every day, whether we deem it to be good or ill, comes and goes by the power of your hand. And this awesome creator and sovereign God that we've just been thinking about, the one who's at the center of all things, we find then in verses 3 to 6, if you look there, that the people he has made are able to approach him. But there is a requirement for this. We read, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? Who shall come to the Lord? Who shall be in his presence? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. Psalm 15 asks the same question. If you look back in your Bibles, you will be able to see that. In Psalm 15, we read, who shall dwell on your holy hill? And it answers, he who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart, who does not slander his tongue and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and who does not change, who does not put out his money at interest and does not take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. We must be marked by the highest integrity, by the things we say, the things we do. We must treat others always as we would want to be treated, never using others for selfish gain. And we must act in this way out of sincere and genuine motives. And in all these things, we must be consistently blameless. We could sum this all up with the phrase, not lifting up our soul to what is false. And if you scan down to Psalm 25, you'll read, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. In other words, we only ever look to and trust God. We have no idols in our lives. We are only ever looking to God and are only ever satisfied in Him. I only wish I could say that. Even as one who knows and trusts Christ, my heart at times is pulled in many directions. There's not a day goes by that I am not guilty in God's sight and would rule myself out of being in His perfect, holy presence. Jesse Ryle says, above all, let us pray for a deeper sense of our own sinfulness, guilt, and undeserving. This, after all, is the true secret of a thankful spirit. It is the man who daily feels his debt to grace and daily remembers that in reality he deserves nothing but hell. This is the man who will be daily blessing and praising God. And we can be thankful here that what God requires, He also provides. In Hebrews 4, we read that this King of glory has been tempted in every way, yet without sin. In 1 Peter 2, we read, He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in His mouth. When He was reviled, He did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but continued entrusting Himself to Him who judges justly. There is one who has lived consistently, blamelessly in all things, honoring God fully and completely. And this King of glory, the one by whom creation was made and everything was made for and holds it all together, well, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. And so we receive blessing from the Lord, verse 5, righteousness from the God of our salvation. And so those who accept God's free gift of salvation, those who are trusting in Christ alone for salvation, they make up the generation of those who seek God and find themselves in His presence offering thanks and worship. One has lived as God required, yet many are welcomed to the holy place of God's presence. What do you have that you did not receive? Everything you have has been given to you as a free and gracious gift from God. What then can you do but thank and praise Him and rejoice in His goodness? See, a failure to be thankful is really a lack of spiritual awareness. When we realize that our deepest need has been provided for by a free and gracious gift, we would then be so thankful that we wouldn't dare ask for anything else. And in turn then, anything else that God does give us beside our salvation, we would do nothing but thank Him. So now realizing that we need God to even approach Him and give Him thanks, we cling to Him, we look to Him, we lift up our souls, we strive to trust Him more, to put Him at the center of all we do. And as we do this and He works from within us, then we begin to see those characteristics of clean hands and pure hearts becoming evident within our lives as He works to transform us into the likeness of the King of glory, the perfect one who fully met God's requirement for us. Although it's not stated in this psalm, many place the context of this psalm in 1 Chronicles 15 and 16. And there you can read where the people of Israel returned from battle and the Ark of the Covenant was brought to Jerusalem and set inside a tent that David had pitched for it. And following this, there was great joy and celebration as God had given them victory. And following that, then, you can read of David's song of thanks, which is what we know as Psalm 105. And I think that context could fit well in the sense that what we see here in these final verses is a celebration of the King of Glory, a great warrior God. This is not a new idea to Scripture. In Exodus 15, after that great deliverance from Egypt, we have that song of Moses, and as the people were singing, they refer to the Lord as a man of war. But here we have a question and answer. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. And it's repeated. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of Glory. This idea of lifting up gates and doors is, again, it's debated exactly where and what exactly these gates were. But this idea of lifting suggests joy and celebration. The King of Glory is returning from a successful battle. When you look at this psalm, sometimes the three sections can appear almost quite detached. But when you see the flow, you get a real wonder of the King of Glory. The one who, in verse 1 and 2, created the world and owns the world and everything in it, who sovereignly controls over all things. This was the King of Glory who, in his perfection, took our place by dying on the cross, took our sin on himself. And then here we see joy and celebration as the King of Glory returns triumphantly, successful in battle. As we think of the spiritual battle that Christ fought and won for us, after he was raised, heaven received him. He was given the highest position over all creation. Sin and death and hell have been defeated. We've just been singing about it. And he returns gloriously. And as he returns to the Father's presence, so his success in battle gives us continual access to the Father's presence by his grace. But this experience of the Lord's presence that we have now, it's only a shadow of, and it's only a pointer to what we will experience when the King of Glory returns again as a warrior. We can read of this in Revelation 19. We're told his name will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if you read on Revelation 21, we read, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. Then we will be perfected, and we will know the Lord's presence in a way that we have never known before." And as Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica, we will always be with the Lord. The King of Glory has won an eternal victory. But until then, we remain in battle, fighting sin day and daily. Things come at us, we're hit with temptation, sickness comes, disappointment. Sometimes we feel like we're being got at from all sides. Sometimes we feel anything but victorious. And to continue in this battle, and even to be able to give thanks through the battle, we need to get perspective of the King of Glory. Because this King of Glory, he's not just hovering over earth from a distance, somehow just waiting to return with no real involvement. But as he invaded us when he came to earth, so he continues to invade, to be involved in every life circumstance, in every battle, at the center of all things, wisely controlling all things, leading us through this battle, working all things for our good and for his glory. God is not distant. He is not just in heaven. He is not just in this building as we meet. He is in the workplace. He is in the home. He is in the school, constantly available to give you victory in the battle. We are not alone. What we need, he graciously provides. On the day of Thanksgiving, I don't think we would often think of coming to give God thanks for suffering. But the reality is that we all suffer in some shape or form to a lesser or greater extent. In order to be thankful, God must be at the center of all things. See, when we think that we are in control, when we put ourselves at the center of our lives, then suffering is for suffering's sake, with no real purpose other than to inflict pain on us. And if that is the case, we will quickly become defeatist in the battle. And when we're defeatist, we will grumble, we will moan, we will panic, we will feel hard done by, we will feel depressed. And who would give thanks for that? But you see, when the King of Glory is at the center of all things, and when the King of Glory is made the center of our lives, then suffering has meaning and suffering has purpose. And I believe that is why we can be thankful in suffering, and that is why we can be thankful always for everything. Because in all these things, we are more than conquerors. In all these, we are victorious because the King of Glory is fighting for us. There's a new Matt Redmond song. It's called One Day. And in this song, he talks about kind of the various battles and struggles, the anxieties, the fears, the pains. But the focus is on one day, that one day the struggles will be done. One day the battle will be finished. And he puts in that old chorus that I'm sure many of us know, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, when we see the King in all his glory, we'll sing and shout the victory. So come everyone this morning, come all and give thanks for our warrior King. Are you thankful this morning? Many of us will be thankful for many things, for good family life. Many of us are thankful for our jobs. Many of us are thankful for coffee on a Monday morning and perhaps other mornings. But let's not restrict our thanksgiving. Let's be thankful always and for everything. And let's be sure that our thanksgiving is specifically addressed to God. When we think of who God is and all that he has given to us and all that he will give to us, we cannot be pessimistic. We cannot be grumblers. So let's gain perspective this morning. The one who created all things is the one who has given you all things, is the one who gave his life for your salvation, and is the one who fights for and will bring you home to glory. Let us give thanks to the King of Glory.